Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast where we talk about video game stuff and stuff. What's up? My name's Dick. No, what's up? I'm Dick Marchinko.
Yeah,
nearly,
you are.
Nearly got my own intro wrong there. God. I'm joined by...
Peter Austin.
That real Peter Austin. He's still got that Peter Austin smell. That new Peter Austin smell.
Yeah, straight out the factory. Hot and fresh out the kitchen. No, I don't want to associate with... with that man.
Oh, is it that man?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, it's how long has it been? Less than a minute. I think you mean fewer. Fewer than a minute. And we've already scandaled.
We have. Scandaled. Confirmed. Where's the penguin?
We don't need the penguin. We've got Billiam Ray Walrus with us. We've got Tiny Dick.
Your namesake.
Tiny Dick Machinka. Hello. And
no.
What?
Don't say what.
And we've got a sponsor today, Peter. Mm-hmm. As we always do, they help us keep the show on the air.
Yeah.
This week's sponsor comes from Coco Park. Coco Park, of course, is a place where you can see some high-octane racing action.
Yeah.
They go real fast, and sometimes they go across that little grass bit, and it makes them go super slow, slower than, you know, a normal car would, special grass.
Don't forget to read the slogan. We'd rather have a bowl of Coco Park.
I thought it was Coco's there. Park.
Oh,
you misread it there. Well, rather have a bowl of Coco's Park. And then it also says they're fast underneath. Mm. Are there any other ones? There's Snap, Crackle, and Zoom are the mascots of Coco's Park.
Yeah.
They're in little honey sort of racing jackets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Little puffs of...
I'm sorry?
Little puffs
little
of...
Little lineas of...
Little lineas of races in little racing jackets.
Yes, Coco's Park. It's in supermarkets now. I'm confused about what the product actually is, but that's the real read we've got here. They're sponsoring Triple Jump's podcast today, and we want to extend a deep thank you to them. You okay? You're just picking stuff off your microphone.
There's loads of little hairs
just,
on it.
He's just fiddling with his Michael phone.
Oh, it's awful.
Of course, this is a video game podcast. As we said, it's not an athletics podcast, which, you know, that you're
well, it might be.
We'll see. It isn't, though. But the algorithm might think it is, as YouTube tends to do sometimes. But we're slowly reclaiming the word Triple Jump.
We are.
We're making it ours now.
I think now, I can't remember if I was on incognito mode or not, which sort of removes any tendency for like YouTube knowing who you are and what you like.
And your cookies.
And your cookies and things. I think I typed Triple Jump into YouTube the other day because I needed to get to our channel and I just had a tab open already. And I'm pretty sure we were the top result.
Well, there we go. That's it. The takeover begins now. Take that, Olympic committee.
But maybe I was logged in as Triple Jump. So
that might be true. Yeah. I mean, people do tell us they get recommended videos of people doing the Triple Jump.
They do.
The athletics contest from actual sports. But that doesn't matter. Getting on to more serious matters, Peter.
Yeah.
I want to thank our kind patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump because they're the real people who keep this show going and they provide all of our questions every week.
They certainly do.
Just like Ross Brumble.
Ross Brumble.
Or Bros Ramble.
Right.
What does Bros have to say?
Bros Ramble, Ross Brumble, has to say... He has to say.
He has to say.
He's at gunpoint, and someone has insisted that he says.
Oh my god!
What are your thoughts on enhanced games, i.e., Pokemon Crystal after Silver/Gold, Persona 4 Golden after Persona 4, etc.? Are they a nice way to add a new add in new/cut content and improve the experience of the games that came before them, or are they cash cows sold mainly to milk another £30+ out of gamers who love the originals? Ben, did you play Persona 4 Golden?
I certainly did. Yeah. That was my first Persona game.
Oh, well, I guess if you didn't play the original, then that's
I do know the
comparison-y.
I know the differences, though.
Okay.
In that Persona 4 came out on PlayStation, the PlayStation 2, mm-hmm. in 2008.
Yeah.
Way after the PS3 and Xbox 360 launched. And then the Vita version, Persona 4 Golden, I think came out in 2012, maybe. And it had like a whole new extra season of the game because it takes, you know, it's on sort of a calendar system. So they added a winter section in with like loads of new events and stuff, loads of new dialogue. There's a whole new character and storyline. Mm-hmm. There's new stuff you can do. It's got slightly tweaked and upgraded visuals. They completely redid all the voice work, which some fans of the original game weren't huge fans of, but I really liked it because it was just consistent. And now when I see footage of Persona 4, the original one, it's weird hearing them speak wrong. I think these are great, personally. The Pokemon games do it very well. They usually do a third version of... they usually release two games, each time.
Pairing.
And then they release a third one. So Pokemon Crystal came after Silver and Gold. It was the first Pokemon game that let you choose if you wanted to be a man or woman at the start.
Or woman.
And it wasn't in Golden Silver. And they added in various other things for that as well. I think it's great, you know, because they're not hurting anyone. The fans know what they're getting into. If you want to talk about cash cowism, let's have a look at that Infinity War that they're re-releasing in the cinemas like now.
Right.
Literally to beat Avatar.
Yeah.
With a post-credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they've added.
Yeah.
A post-credit scene.
Very cheeky.
You want to know what, Peter?
Yeah.
I'm a discerning fan adult with money. I'll probably go and see it because I like that film.
Yeah.
And I'd quite like to see the end credits scene.
Well, you can probably just see it on YouTube.
I probably can.
Just pirate it.
But I want them to be Avatar too. Don't pirate it.
No.
I want them to be Avatar as well.
When's
I don't
Avatar
think it has
out?
Anyone.
When's Avatar out?
What do you mean? Avatar?
Yeah, Avatar 2.
Avatar
1.
I was going to say, I was very confused then. Avatar 2, I have no idea. I mean, they've already committed to like 7 films, haven't they? It's never going to happen. And nobody cares. Nobody cares about the first one.
People cared at the time.
It had 3D.
No one can pretend that people didn't care at the time. Actually care at the time. But yeah,
was for the 3D though. It wasn't because it was some spellbinding story.
It was the eye candy. It was just, everyone says, it was just Pocahontas, wasn't it?
But it really was.
In sci-fi.
What do you think, Pete?
Well, talking of films, you know, the thing that this makes me think of, this question, is Golden Editions are a little bit like getting the Blu-ray extended director's cut of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just getting the Blu-ray, which has a regular cut, but in the special features, you can see a couple of deleted scenes, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that kind of stuff. I don't always go to the extent of actually buying Blu-rays and watching the deleted scenes. Sometimes I just go on YouTube and the official account of that film just has the deleted scenes online.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's that sort of thing, isn't it? You know, people who know what they like... if it's a franchise that you're very keen on, and like you say, these things are normally very transparently advertised, and they say this is the Golden Edition and features extra missions, voiceovers, and you can also get new apparel and stuff, you know, then it's completely up to the consumer whether they want to buy it. I'll tell you what I think is more of a cash cow than Pokemon Crystal is just the fact that they do Silver and Gold and Red and Blue. I've never really understood how they've got away with doing that for decades.
How do you mean?
Doing two games. They're very similar games.
It was because they wanted people to use the link cable.
Yeah.
And they wanted to create they really did a good job, though, to be fair, of creating that sense of wanting to trade with your friends.
Yeah.
And like feeling like you were a trainer and you had things that other people didn't. And they brought that real world trading card kind of situation, but to a virtual game, and people really cared about it.
Yeah, but I still think it's a little bit cheeky that they're...
I mean, I know that people probably still buy both, you know, like Sword and Shield.
Mm-hmm.
But in this day and age, with a Pokedex that big, you have to really be a special kind of person to want to collect 7 million Pokemon. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for that. I'll just pick the one that I like the look of the best and just go with that and just play that through.
You buy one game as a general rule.
Now I am, Back in the day, I remember my cousin got... he went to America and he came back with gold and or silver. And I was like, oh my God, this is mind blowing. And this is the anecdote I've told before where my friend dobbed me in and then my cousin threw a rock at me because I accidentally saved over his game because he lent it to me, which was really a harrowing experience from my childhood. But my grandparents then went on holiday to America and they brought them both back for me. And that's the only time I've ever owned both of them. Mm-hmm. I now own all of them, obviously, because I've collected them over the years.
You're a grown up now.
Because I'm an adult. I can spend sensible money on sensible things like that.
Yeah.
But at the time, no, I only had one. I only had one.
Yeah. No, I'm all for it. You know, for example, I never actually bought it in the end, but I remember at the time being really up for buying Bully Scholarship Edition. Mm-hmm. I had the first one, really enjoyed, you know, the original one. And I remember hearing about Scholarship thinking, oh, hell yeah, sounds great, you know? I think as long as the consumer knows what they're getting into, then it's all good.
Absolutely. I think it's just more stuff. As long as they don't purposefully hold back stuff. But, I mean, then you're talking about DLC. We're not talking about, like, Game of the Year edition with all the DLC in it. We're talking about, like, these specific cases
where... They often come out years later.
Yeah, exactly. And the Pokemon games have done a really good job as well since then of basically remastering in whatever the latest Pokemon engine is a game from 20 years ago. Mm. So you had Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu, which was basically Pokemon Yellow with some tweaks. You had Heart Gold and Soul Silver on the DS, which were ground up remakes of Silver and Gold, but on the new DS Pokemon engine and stuff. Like, I'm all for it. I think it's great.
Yeah,
it's just like the Resi remake. It's just for different audiences. It's all good. It doesn't hurt anyone. I think it's fine.
Yeah,
Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Weird question for you.
Okay.
What are you playing?
That's a good question, Ben.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, Dick.
Sorry, what?
I said that's a good question.
That's
Dick.
A good question, Dick. I'm just gonna have a quick look over here because I'm paranoid. Yeah, my name is Dick. Sorry, I was just checking on the device.
Right. Oh, yeah, the special
Dickometer.
No. I suspect, now, you know, you might prove me wrong, I suspect we're both playing apostrophe. The same thing this week.
Yeah.
I have been playing...
Crabs Team...
Rarar.
What? I'm sorry?
Crabs Team Rarar.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good game.
It really is.
CTR... Crash Team Racing, nitro-fueled.
Yes.
I have been really enjoying it. I was away, actually, Saturday to Tuesday.
Oh.
Time of recording is Thursday, so I've only actually had a couple of days playing it.
So inconvenient.
Yeah, it was inconvenient, but the time that I've had with it, I have really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was very surprised last night when I got home from school. Got home from school.
Yeah.
Mom, I'm home. And discovered that my girlfriend, my fiance, who's not really a gamer at all, had started adventure mode on my PS4 as Coco.
Wow.
Was driving around. She'd done the first three races on medium, which surprised
me. Look at
that. Because medium mode is not actually particularly straightforward, particularly for someone who has barely played a kart racer, and she certainly does not, or at the time, didn't understand the power sliding and the boosting whatsoever. She didn't know that was a thing.
Wow.
So
sounds like you should marry that woman.
Well, I might just do that, Ben.
Yeah.
I might just.
Good.
So I think that's a great seal of approval there, that a fairly non-gamer kind of gal has thought, I want to play that.
That looks fun.
That looks great.
Oh, no. It's kicked my actual ass.
Oh, geez.
Because it looks fun. It is fun. It's just really difficult.
It is pretty difficult.
As we'll get into.
I'm playing on medium as well.
Yeah.
You're not on medium, right?
No. So I played it all of Saturday, basically. I played it all day, and I was thinking, could I get this platinum trophy? Could I do it? Could I conceivably do it before the end of the weekend? Could I actually do this? And I was looking through the trophies and I was like, okay, beat some time trials. That probably isn't too hard. Maybe, you know, finish the adventure mode on hard. Like, I'm really good at Crash Team Racing, so that'll probably be all right. But for fun, You know, because there's, you have to collect, in adventure mode, you also have to not only win races, but do special challenges, mm-hmm. like collect all the crystals, collect the letters C, T, and R that are hidden throughout the race, but then also finish first.
Screw, I was thinking, that. We'll get to that.
I was thinking, I'll do that on easy first. I'll have fun with the game. Yeah. I'll do what it meant was that I was just 10 million miles ahead of everyone else from the word go, or from the me, which is their equivalent of go, mm-hmm. and I never saw them again. I got every single trophy in that game in one day, apart from finishing adventure mode on hard. The gang's all here, which is collecting all the original races, unlocking them all. One of which is hidden behind getting all the time trials, which is the other two trophies I don't have.
Right.
And they are stupidly difficult. Mm-hmm. Stupidly difficult. I love Crash Team Racing. You love Crash Team Racing. Yeah. We both played it growing up. They did have difficulty modes back then, but they've clearly changed them this time around, because I could do hard on the original Crash Team Racing. It was difficult, but it was fair. Mm-hmm. On this version, I don't know what they've done, but these guys are taking every shortcut. They're outrunning missiles. Mm-hmm. They just get like arbitrary speed boosts for no reason. Like, you play as the fastest racer. You're all driving in a straight line. They'll just go, see ya, and they'll just accelerate past you. Yeah. Like, what the hell is this? It is so... honestly, so frustrating. And we'll talk up the good points of this game as well, because overall, we're both very positive on this game.
This is just sort of the main single sticking point, really.
It's just mad. Like, even when you go to medium, medium is doable. Mm. But, like, there's such a huge leap in, like, the AI just doing everything it can to win that it feels almost like... I'm hesitant to say it's unfair, but it does feel unfair. It feels like the difficulty spike isn't a test of your ability. It's just punishing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make a lot of sense a lot of the time, even within the context of, you know, of the race that you're playing. They'll just suddenly, as I said, just speed past you. If you're going to win, it's almost, on hard at least, it's almost entirely down to luck. Like, you have to be really good, but... you have to get lucky. You have to be fortunate in that all the other racers will attack each other. Mm. They'll all smash into each other. Whoever's in first will constantly be taken out by whoever's in second. And then whoever's in third will take out who's in second. And you get a chance to slip past. To win, everything has to go your way. Otherwise, they will beat you every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
I found even on medium, I mean, I guess the biggest problem I had last night playing was I'd got a whole bunch of trophies and I was getting through the main kind of adventure mode. And then I thought, why don't I head back and start doing some CTR token collectathon bits. So I did the very first one, Crash Cove, which is, you know, the happy, easy, this is fun kind of track, right? Welcome to the game. This is fun. It was pretty punishing, I found. It took me between 10 and 15 tries. And so the problem that I found was I had no issue getting ahead of the five of the other races. Mm-hmm. But then there was Dingo Dial was always in front for the entire race.
Yeah.
Pura was sometimes in second, or sometimes I was in second, right? The biggest problem was the T for that CTR collectathon bit is you have to hop up onto the Crash Cove shortcut, as players of the game will know what that is. You then have to turn right to this sort of jetty that goes perpendicular to the track, mm-hmm. right? And as you're driving along that, the T is on the very far right-hand edge of this jetty and right at the back so that you're actually over the water a little bit. So you have to grab it, and then because you're over on the far right-hand side of this jetty and the race is all going off to the left side, you then have to just sort of awkwardly turn around and drive back and then get back onto the track. Or think, maybe, is it quicker for me to just literally drive into the water and get brought back by my mask and then go from there?
It's a mandatory handicap of, like, up to 10 seconds.
Exactly,
sometimes.
That's what I feel like. It's like, I'm not really struggling too much with the races on medium. I feel like, yeah, it's a good challenge. You know, sometimes I don't win and it's like, well, I know how I could do that better, or I hit a couple of potions and I should have dodged them. Mm-hmm. But, and so in terms of getting the trophies, I'm fine with it. The in-game trophies I'm talking about now. But the moment that you then have to deviate from your course to collect some letters, I'm kind of worried at this point going forward, trying to get the rest, that it's just going to be a real pain in the backside.
Yeah. That's why I played it through on easy to begin with, just because, and I had a wonderful time. Yeah. I really enjoyed it, you know, because I wasn't, like, sometimes it's nice to have a challenge, but adventure mode traditionally didn't have a difficulty mode. It was just, this is the difficulty that it is. And it started off easy and it got harder as you went along. Yeah. And it felt natural and it was difficult. But now that they've added in, this is what it's like on medium. This is what it's like on hard. Yeah. It just feels punishingly unfair. And some lunatics will eventually get the platinum and they will finish that. And I know that Rob from PlayStation Access is chronicling publicly on Twitter his process, and he offered me a couple of tips as well, saying do the time trials. But I'll talk to you about the time trials, Peter.
I saw him tweet on release day saying, God, this is the trophy I'm most... I think he said the one I'm most worried about is... maybe he didn't say hard mode. I think someone said to him, oh, this looks hard, doesn't it? And I think he said, no, the time trials are going to be the hardest thing.
Yeah, the time trials. I mean, I've managed to do two of the races in adventure mode on hard, and that took a few goes. Ruse Tubes on hard, because there's no real shortcut in there.
Yeah.
It's just so difficult. Mm-hmm. And I tried for hours, and I just, the highest I finished was fourth, behind... third, second, and first, and I just couldn't. I had to give up because I was getting really annoyed with it. The time trials, they've added all the tracks now from the older game, as we mentioned in our Quipscope video, which you can go and see if you want to hear our initial thoughts. And our initial thoughts haven't changed. It's still a phenomenal game, a really faithful recreation.
We'll get
really
to some
good
nice
fun.
Stuff. We will.
Yeah, we will. We promise. But these are the things that have been annoying us. They've added all these new tracks. I think there's like 30, maybe 30 tracks in there now. In order to get the first time trial trophy, you have to beat all of Entropy's time trials. In order to unlock his time trials, you need to set a time trial record of your own first. Mm-hmm. So that's playing through each track once, and then you unlock his. And he's really good and really fast. Yeah. So then you've got to beat him, which is playing through them all again. So that's 60 races, 60 time trials. And assuming you don't get it all on the first try, that's even more attempts. And then, after you beat his, you then unlock Nitrous Oxide's time trials, and then he takes every shortcut and drives incredibly fast. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's 90 races. And you're doing it right first time. That's not going to happen. This isn't so much now a case of bashing your head against a brick wall and hoping you eventually succeed. This is a marathon. Mm. Like, this is going to take people a long time to do, unless some sort of exploit or cheat is discovered, or they patch
it. Or they nerf it.
So it's not so ridiculous, because at the moment, it's insane. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely insane. And as a huge fan of Crash Team Racing, I'd love to dedicate the time to it. But quite frankly, I just see it as so unnecessarily difficult that it's just not worth my time, because I know that even if I make
it... Platinum,
I start, I just know that I'll invest like 10 hours and I'll make a dent, and then I'll think this is just overwhelming. Like, there's just no point in doing this, which is such a shame. I feel like that is the missed opportunity here, is that they've made the difficulties too difficult, which sounds ridiculous and sounds like I need to get good or whatever, but like, it just, I think a lot of people agree that even many know Crash Team Racing is not an easy kart racer anyway. It's quite an advanced one. It's harder than Mario Kart. But like, this is just taking it to a ludicrous level.
I mean, to me, overall, I'm still feeling like, I don't think there's a missed opportunity so much in that, like, on a personal level, I don't get particularly excited by platinum trophies. You know, I do them for the games that I really enjoy, just because, you know, almost sometimes it's incidental, you know, I'm just playing it through that much and I just happen to get a bunch of trophies. But, you know, for me, I think there's still, you know, a lot of fun to be had in adventure mode, loads of fun to be had in multiplayer. You know, I've finally bought a second controller, which I've not needed because my girlfriend just didn't really like to play multiplayer with me. So I'll be playing a lot of that at home. But also, I think it's got legs in terms of there's going to be a whole load of extra unlockable races, apparently. I don't know when they're
they've done a pretty horrible job in-game of advertising that, because there's nothing that tells you any information about upcoming stuff or anything in there, seems a bit weird.
I'm sure I've seen online that there's like special like Grand Prix like seasonal events coming up where you can unlock Spyro and Torna and stuff like that. So, you know, that... You know, I think it's got legs and I think it's got a lot of replayability. But yeah, in terms of going for platinum, I'm not interested. And I don't think I've... I would be able to.
No, I mean, I don't think I'm going to be able to either, unless something drastic changes or they release a kart racer for free. A kart racer. They release a racer that whose stats are like max on everything.
Yeah.
It's not going to make any difference. Like on hard, you pretty much have to. You have to race as someone with a full speed stat. Mm. You just have to. And even then, it doesn't make any difference. They'll still fly past you.
Yeah.
They'll still fly past you. But it's amazing. Like, I love it because the music's great. It looks phenomenal. It
looks gorgeous. It's
a really faithful recreation. We both said, you know, we jumped in and the muscle memory kicked in immediately. Yeah. You know, our big concerns going into it were that it wasn't, you know, if there was any subtle differences, you would know because it's such a precise racer.
Yeah, you feel every...
You would know if it was wrong. And it feels perfect. And I do like the unlocking stuff and the customizing of carts.
Yeah,
I think that's
too.
A nice change.
Yeah.
You can customize your boy or girl or thing, depending on what you race as, creature.
Robot.
It's good. It's really good. And it's at a decent price point. And unlike the various remakes we've had before, this is one that you can just sort of keep around because I platinumed all the Spyro games and then I thought... I mean, I might come back and play them again at some point, but this is an actual multiplayer game where people can come over and you can play it together, and it's really good. It's great.
All the set dressing, you know, all the little characters and enemies from previous Crash games running around on the side of the track, which, you know, never used to be in there. Some of them might have been, but most of them weren't. Yeah. And, it's like I say, it's got longevity to it. It's going to be a lot of fun to play for months or years to come. Mm-hmm. And we would absolutely recommend it. I would anyway.
No, definitely. 100%. Like, I am really enjoying it. I'm just annoyed.
Yeah, if you're
it
a platinum trophy hunter. Or even if you do, well, I mean, you know, if not, if you just like want to play it on the hardest mode and get a sense of achievement, don't buy it for that because I think hard mode is just, I've not even tried it yet. I've not played a single hard race
yet. Yeah, well, best of luck. We might do that today because we're streaming today at the time of recording.
Yeah.
We're going to finish off Until Dawn and we might also play a bit of Crash Team Racing afterwards. And you should, honestly, we will play hard on Ruse Tubes and we'll just see how, just as an experiment.
See,
because it's ridiculous.
Okay.
It's so dumb, but we love it. And also, it's worth mentioning as well, clarification, Peter, his copy is from Activision, who provided
it
his
is.
Code.
Yes, thank you,
I bought mine. Peter's was provided by PR, so thank you very much, Activision, for sending that. Bit of clarification for you there, but let us know how you're finding it in the comments below. God, that was a big old talk. That was probably
that was a long one.
That was my longest Yeah Boy ever.
It probably was, yeah.
I think we just have enough time before the end of the show to get on to question two.
Good.
This is from Stephen Norrie. As Summer Games Done Quick is currently in full flow, are there any games you think you'd be capable of speedrunning or at least be willing to learn some sick strats for in order to try a run? Peter Austin for People at Home. What is SGDQ. I always get the acronym messed up.
SGDQ.
Yes.
SGDQ and also GDQ is an event that is run by speedrunning communities worldwide. I think they gather in California or somewhere. I don't know, in a big convention center somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you get like top tier speedrunners coming together to... Yep. Completely destroy video games, old and new. Oh no,
he's old and new. Yeah. There we go.
For those listening at home without the video, ignore that. It's fine. it's all for charity. It's usually done to. I think it's always for a cancer charity, actually.
Right.
And they do SGDQ in the summer. They do just Games Done Quick in the winter. And it's one of my favorite video game times of the year.
Since you mentioned it to me and introduced it to me, I've really started to enjoy it as well. I never watch them live, but they always upload to YouTube afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole variety of games, you know, from Dark Souls to 8-bit titles, you know, the original Mario, all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
And it's just fascinating because they usually have an audience behind them and they're in front of camera and they'll have usually a couple of presenters, presenters behind them maybe, and they'll be talking as they go through, explaining what they're doing. You know, I think the better ones tend to be the ones that are presented by sort of charismatic sort of entertainer types who can actively describe what they're doing as they go, and they know, you know, they're so good at what they do that they know that, okay, I'm going to be in this this lift now for 5 seconds, so I've got 5 seconds to explain.
Yeah.
Or just turn around and wave to the crowd and just show off. And it's really interesting and fascinating to watch. I really enjoy it. Love a good speed run.
Yeah, me too. Really enjoy just watching. There's some really surprising stuff, like, especially for games that you know, like you say, Dark Souls, and like the one that opened the event this year was Spyro the Dragon 1 on the Reignited Trilogy.
Oh, okay.
So that's a game I know pretty well. And, you know, that's been broken in all kinds of fascinating ways. There's all kinds of different categories as well. So they'll choose a game, say, you know, Crash Team Racing, the original on PS1. Mm-hmm. And it might be like any percent or 100%. And so, you know, any percent might be just, I have to get to the ending cutscene. And sometimes with certain games, there's a way from like, you know, level 3 or whatever in like the hub to skip your way into the final level and trigger the final cutscene. And that counts as like an any percent run. And there's all kinds of interesting, like different ways that they do these speedruns. So it's a lot of fun. We recommend that you watch.
Definitely.
Donate if you can. It's for charity.
Yes, do support a good cause if you can do that. Peter, do you think there are any games you know well enough that you think that if you were to dedicate some real time and do a Rocky training montage that you could like properly smash it up?
There are...
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Would a Spyrop game be in there?
Well, so this is the thing. Okay. The question is there a, you know, if someone put a gun to my head and said, I'm going to shoot
Sorry, let
you.
Let me just, oh no, I don't. I left it on my desk.
Oh, the gun.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to shoot you unless you do a reasonably good time in a speed run of a video game of your choice. Mm-hmm. You have a week to prepare, go.
Yeah.
Then I would pick something like Spyro. But if it was for recreation, I would have absolutely no desire whatsoever to want to sit and play one of my favorite games over and over and over and over, learn how to break it and how to get to the end in a cheaty way. I play Spyro probably once a year, and I just play it legit, you know? Mm-hmm. And I actually do at this point know a couple of like little cheaty things you can do. Spyro 2 is so broken on PS1, there's a double jump mechanic that's not supposed to be in there.
But I think you showed me that.
You can basically like sort of charge in the air, and as long as you're not like pointing a direction, you can like jump upwards from a jump, and it's like a whole, it's a whole crazy thing. Mm-hmm. And I do actually know how to do that, but unfortunately, I'm disciplined enough not to just break my Spyro 2 runs now, when I'm just playing through for fun. But that is why I wouldn't want to do a game that I really love. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. There's probably some games that I know very well that I don't, you know, have such a strong love for that, you know, I'd be happy to break them. I'll tell you, I think what could be fun, probably very difficult to learn, but fun, would be something like Dishonored.
Okay, yeah.
Those sorts of games where you can, there's so many ways to play and to combine powers. I bet there's some really fun, clever routes in something like
that. Some really good skips.
Yeah.
You're just sort of warping into places you shouldn't be to bypass things. I watched a Sekiro speed run.
Right.
That was broken pretty much immediately, where he was able to jump through a cliff and then he was in the void, but it started a swimming animation and the video was I think he sped it up just for demonstrative purposes for the upload to YouTube. But there were instructions on the screen. It was just keep swimming this way for 5 minutes. And he ended up swimming into a pool of water that was like a much later section of the game. He just swam through the void until it loaded him into an area that's way later on. He skipped a whole load of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's insane. It's really insane. I've watched so many Dark Souls 1 speedruns that I think if I wanted to, I might be able to give it a go. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very familiar with a lot of the skips in that game. If you include the DLC, there's a combination of items you can use to just... Basically, you get the Lord Vessel towards the end of the game once you've completed Anor Londo and beaten Ornstein and Smog.
The Desolation of Smog.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Desolation of Smog. And that allows you to warp between certain bonfires, but also you place it in front of these big stone gates behind which is the final boss.
Right.
And in order to get through those stone gates, you then get access to, I think it's four... God, I can't even remember. Four... Big boy bosses, or girls, that you then have to kill and bring the souls back to put into the Lord Vessel, and then the doors open.
Right.
If you can combine, I think it's like you have to get the timing perfect, but if there's a single-use item that you can only use in a certain area that warps you back to safety, as it were, in the DLC. And if you drop off a ledge, use it at the right time, the game gets totally confused because you're no longer in the area that will warp you back, but because you're in the air, and I think you switch the what's currently in your inventory slot to be used, like at the last second, and it uses it, and the last known coordinates, if you do it right, are the Lord Vessel, and it just spawns you on the other side of the door, and you just get to go to the final boss immediately. There's so many clever things there, and there's a lot of, so many people have speedrun that game as well, that I think maybe that one. But
I know that A Dog's Life, you know, the PS2 dog sim game, has a really short any percent speed run where you can get to the final boss. I think it is actually a boss. It's in like a factory. You're on like a like an Acme style production line with like chopping bits and stuff. You can get to that final bit within like 10 minutes or something. And there's only like two or three tricks to learn. They're pretty difficult to pull off. They're like pixel perfect. You have to like fall between like seams of like geometry and stuff. But I think almost anyone could probably learn how to speedrun that game reasonably quickly because there's so little to learn. You just have to kind of get a little bit lucky with these like really finicky tricks.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
What about Far Cry 4, any percent? When he tells you to sit down at the table.
Oh, yeah.
And if you just wait there, 80%. The game ends.
Well, that probably, some of these categories, they rule certain things out. Like, I know there's, I think there's an Uncharted one this year at SGDQ, which is no air rolling or something.
Oh, God.
It's part of the category. There's some kind of, I guess, like, you can just roll into the air and just pass the whole world. And so, yeah, within the communities for certain games speedruns, they have like, oh, I play any percent. Oh, I play 100% with air rolling. I play no, you know. Like
That's why there's tons of leaderboards when you go on speedrun.net or whatever it is. Like there's loads of different parameters and challenges that people set for themselves.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's Summer Games Done Quick. Look it up. It's really good.
Yeah.
And if you've ever done a speedrun, let us know. Be interested to find out. Something weird is happening.
It is.
Do you feel that?
No. What am I supposed to be?
Hang on. Oh my God, do you feel that?
Oh, that's weird.
It's weird news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
It's weird news time, Peter.
It's
time for weird news. Would you like a weird news?
Yes, weird me.
So this comes from Kotaku.
Kotaku.
Mm-hmm. Kotaku-kun. That's an anime for you there.
I don't think I like that.
You sure?
Yeah.
A lot of people do. It's quite divisive, though.
Yeah, but just it sounded a bit, I don't know.
Mario Royale.
Yeah?
Is now DMCA Royale. So there's an unofficial Mario web browser battle royale game.
Of course there
which is. Which is up to 75 players.
Yeah.
I've played it for research purposes because it's a web browser game and it's free. And I
Did
thought,
you
why
get
not?
To number one?
Hell no. it's the first stage of Super Mario or just, I can't remember which one. I don't bloody care. One of them. One of those bloody games, you know, where you just run from left to right. You jump over the little mushroom people, but then you eat the good mushrooms and you get bigger. I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's the first stage, but then every other player's sort of like slightly translucent. So there's just like 75 Marios all get dropped in at the start of the level, and then it's just a race to see if you can just survive and make it through for a start, and who gets to the end the firstest. Yeah. Oh my god.
So you're not battling each other.
No, racing. No, it's not combat. Yeah, it's just the first stage of Mario, first to the end wins, and it just drops 75 of you in there. It's quite a fun little novel thing. So, as you might imagine, Nintendo are a litigious bunch, aren't they? They don't like it. They don't like it when you...
When you do anything. You're not even. I don't think you're allowed to say Nintendo, just on a podcast.
Redacted. Yeah. Redacted. Mario Royale is now DMCA Royale. Last week, Kotaku... Kotaku UK reported on the fun and extremely daft Mario Royale, an unofficial browser game that pitted 75 players against each other in run-throughs of levels from the original Super Mario Bros. There we go. Somewhat inevitably, Redacted's legal department sprang into action, and the game now has a new witty form as DMCA Royale, a reference to the USA's Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the threat of which would have been used to shut this down. It's what we get hit by on YouTube a lot.
Yeah.
DMCA takedowns of videos and stuff. It's all a load of nonsense. The patch notes paint a rather amusing picture of how things went down. Version 2.0.0 Alpha, June the 21st, DMCA patch. F word. It happened. Please bear with us while we fix this game over the next few days. Following this, Mario Royale was shut down for a while before the following patch note appeared, with perhaps the greatest lore note in gaming history. Version 2.0.1, June the 21st, asset patch. Almost all missing assets have now been recreated by SEAL Team 6. Added lore. Main character is named Infringio, and his brother is Copyright Infringio. You can now press the A button on the gamepad to launch the game. It was annoying to do. You are welcome. So basically,
have they just replaced in all their the own,
they've just completely reskinned the game now. So so you no longer play as Mario.
No,
which of course is Mario's actual last name.
Mario is the Mario Brothers,
exactly, and Luigi Mario.
Yeah,
you now play as Infringio and Copyright Infringio.
He should be called like
Copyrighto. That would have been good,
something
wouldn't
like
it?
That.
And the entire thing now, it plays exactly the same.
Right.
But they've just reskinned it, renamed it, and people are still playing it.
Right.
So if you want to play it, you can just Google search DMCA Royale, and you can play as Infringio, and still speedrun the first level of Super Mario Bros. Or World, I've already forgotten.
But
it doesn't look like Mario anymore. It's just sort of like an IT class reskin. No music. The sound effects are different, everything. Yeah. I just thought that was fun. I thought it was a bit weird.
It is a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty weird news there. I like the idea that maybe it was because Kotaku covered it in the first place. Nintendo became aware of its existence.
But that's the difficult thing. How is it? You want people to cover it, though, so people actually find out about it and play it, don't
you?
Yeah,
I know. I'm sure they were pleased. Like, people are still playing. At least, you know, they didn't just get completely shut down, you know?
I snuck a Game Boy emulator.
Yeah.
And a ROM of Pokemon Blue onto my secondary school's network.
Ooh.
Like, in the files.
Yeah.
And I told several people how to access it. And a lot of people started playing Pokemon at school because it was just available on every computer now I hid it on the network files. Not very well, I might add.
Right.
And then it got removed.
Pokemon.iso.
Yeah, basically. Don't look in here.
On the H
please,
drive.
IT man.
Yeah.
Or woman.
I've got some weird news here.
Have you?
This is from comicbook.com.
Oh.
Would you believe?
Oh.
Not Kotaku.
Okay.
Kotaku. NBA 2K19 apparently has unskippable ads before games.
What?
That's the headline. Apparently has unskippable ads before games.
Okay.
So, apparently, it says.
Apparently.
I don't know if that means they've not corroborated this.
Right, or if it's just a fun story to report on. I've not heard of comicbook.com.
No, me neither. This is written by Tyler Fisher.
Tyler,
please. So, apparently, NBA 2K19 has unskippable ads before games on PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Mm.
As you may know, 2K has been discounting the game a lot. They've not just been sort of getting, you know, washing their hands of it.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
Yeah. Recently, it was just $3, And it looks like to make up for some of that money lost, 2K has added unskippable ads before games.
That's insane.
These types of ads are, they've spelled ads, A-D-D-S here, comicbook.com.
Great.
So these types of ads are somewhat common in free-to-play games, especially on mobile. However, in a big console title, especially one that still costs money and that some paid more than $60 for...
Yeah, they would have done a launch.
...originally, this doesn't happen very often. It's unclear what when these type... It's unclear when these type of ads were added to the game.
God.
But players over on the game's Reddit page aren't happy about it at all. That said, this isn't the first time the game has done this. In fact, it was doing this months ago. This time, it's advertising Snowfall. But in the past, it has forced players to watch commercials for Converse and other products. And as you will know, beyond the occasional unskippable ad, the game is loaded with brand advertisements, like many sports games. Though NBA 2K takes it to another level.
Yeah, that's... I mean, if true... They haven't done the greatest job of reporting on this story.
Yeah.
Then that is absolutely heinous. That's really horrible.
It is.
People paid a lot of money for that. I take umbrage with advertisements being in things that I actively pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the WWE Network. I pay a monthly subscription to that service, and I still get served with ads during during like their pay-per-views and stuff. They have sponsors, and sometimes they'll just put full ads in there.
Oh my God. And it's like a subscription fee.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. I think it's just
scandalous.
Sort of pretty wild westy, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan at all of paying for things and then having adverts in them as well.
No, you are one or the other.
So that's pretty horrible. I don't mind adverts in games where it makes sense. It enriches the game world.
Yeah.
Sort of like Crazy Taxi,
mm-hmm.
where they had like Pizza Hut and stuff. It's like, it just makes it feel like a real city and a real place. That's
fine.
Okay. But if before every ride you had to watch that's a mobile game.
Yeah.
Is what they've done there. They've turned it into a mobile game. And I really hope this is not the next evolution. We've already seen the encroachment of microtransactions and loot boxes coming in from mobile games and that kind of model because it's so lucrative. But it's already faced a huge backlash because people are actively paying money for these games rather than on mobile, which tend to be free.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if you're paying for this game, doesn't matter how much you paid for it. It's like Fallout 76. You know, if they went free to play 2 months after it came out because nobody was playing it, the people who paid full price at launch would rightly be furious.
Yeah, imagine paying $60 and then having to watch an ad every time you do a
It's awful.
Match.
Hopefully, I mean, I say hopefully it's true. Hopefully it's not true.
Well.
Hopefully comicbook.com are as good at, what are you looking at there?
Well, there are a bunch of tweets embedded in the article where people are saying, you know, Manny on Twitter, at Manny19741276.
Don't lie to us, Manny.
Says, NBA 2K, why did I get an unskippable ad in my game? I didn't pay for that. And so on. Loads of people, Alan, Matt Dawson, NBA legit put unskippable ads in a game I paid $60 for. This is BS.
Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, Bernie Bro in all caps says, hey, NBA 2K, stop shoving ads down my throat on loading screens. I paid you $60 for this crap game.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate your money-grabbing tactics.
Yeah, that's awful.
You tell him, Bernie.
Wow, geez.
So it's not that weird, that news, but it's quite scandalous, really.
That is pretty scandalous. I don't like it. No. I don't like it. That's awful. That best not be true. And it is weird because it shouldn't be allowed.
Ben.
Yeah?
We've got a question here.
Yes.
It's from a long-time question submitter on Patreon.
Yeah.
Patricia Biscuits.
Patricia Biscuits,
We have confirmed that is exactly how you pronounce
that
Patricia's
is how
surname.
You say her name.
Patricia Biscuits.
It's real.
Yeah. What is your Half-Life 3? Are there any games you're holding out hope that will be finally be released, even though they have never been officially announced? No updates on development have happened for years, or they were said to be cancelled. Your Half-Life 3, Ben.
It's Time Splitters 4.
Yeah.
It's Time Splitters 4. Like, I've given up. Like, I'll probably play Half-Life 3 if it ever came out, but I can't pretend that I care that much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Time Splitters 4, however, Time Splitters 2 and Future Perfect were such a formative part of my sort of secondary school
yeah,
playing Existence and going to friends' houses for like sleepovers and like all of us playing and doing System Link and stuff on mm-hmm. two TVs. And like it was our Halo. Like we didn't have Xboxes, we didn't have PCs. It was our Halo, you know, playing arcade mode on Ice Station and stuff.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing game. And then they announced the fourth one. And I was so excited because it was going to be for PS3. And in my product design GCSE, mm-hmm. I actually brought in my copy of Resistance Fall of Man, got my product design teacher, my DT teacher, to go, Mr. Rankin, to go into the teacher's staff room and photocopy the sleeve for me.
Right.
So I had a layout of it. And then I would, oh no, he, yeah, I think he photocopied it. And did he get me a JPEG of some kind? I think he did. Like he scanned it.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't a photocopy. But from that, I was able to mock up my own. My project was a Time Splitters 4 box art for PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
Because I was so excited and so convinced that, no, Free Radical can't die. Like, they can't.
No.
They can't be bought out.
What about that game that I love so much?
I want to play that game that I need. So for me, definitely, it's Time Splitters 4.
Yeah. I was thinking, I mean, I thought that might be what you were going to say. So, I mean, I also would love Time Splitters 4. And we were really excited when THQ Nordic were saying, we've got three games to announce around E3
Destroy
season.
All Human and a SpongeBob game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, for Jesus.
Please.
Okay.
For Jesus.
For Jesus. Yeah, so that's definitely up there for me. I think other than that, there's probably just a couple of games where an ending has been left open, where I'm just so desperate to find out what was supposed to happen. And I know that I never will. So Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance, I've talked about those games a couple of times previously in videos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Super fun. I don't like the Baldur's Gate games, the traditional ones, but Dark Alliance was a kind of break from that format. And it was a bit more, it was like a third-person RPG. And it was top-down, but it didn't play, I mean, Baldur's Gate games play a little bit more like an RTS in a way. Mm-hmm. But that was like a hack-and-slash third-person game. The second game just finished with like some henchman who'd been like a bad guy in the story. There was like a cut scene at the end where like he went and spoke to someone else who he'd secretly been working for and was like, I'll prepare your sail barge. We make way right now. And then that was it. And they never brought out another game. Worse yet, though, there's an obscure game that did really badly for no good reason. I feel really sorry for it. It was called Haven Call of the King on PS2.
Okay.
And it had all these different genres in it. Like, you would do a load of racing and driving boats and, like, puzzling and platforming and combat. It was really fun. And, but the way it ends, they were planning on doing a trilogy, right? The way it ends, the villain chains the hero to a rock and then just says, ha-ha, you know, I win. All your effort was for nothing. He gets into his ship, flies away with the girl, and then it just ends.
That's it.
And that's the end of it.
Oh, my God.
And as the camera pans out of the planet into space, the hero can just hear in his head, like, people who throughout the story have been telling him, like, you're meddling in things you can't possibly understand. And like, Haven, do you know what you're doing? You'll amount to nothing.
Oh, my God.
Pans out, and then that's the end of the game. I just want to know how Haven. Maybe he didn't. Maybe that's what happened.
There might be some fanfic out there.
Oh, it's too perhaps. Obscure, though. I don't think so.
Oh, I think you'll find it. There'll be some sexy fanfic, I promise you.
Yeah.
It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sad when things get set up and then taken away from you. It's
tragic.
It's cruel and not fair.
Yeah.
Right. Do you hear that? What's that coming over the hill, Peter?
It sounds big.
It's huge. It's a great. Huge. Big discussion!
Bigly.
Scarlet Fire. Whenever you're ready, go for it.
Stephen Foster went to Gloucester in a shower of rain.
He stepped in a puddle right up to his middle, and he never went there.
Back there again.
He never returned.
But what he did say on his way back from Gloucester was,
when he was in his puddle.
Yeah, he got his phone out, went onto patreon.com and submitted this question.
Mm.
Hi, guys. With the recent-ish demise of the PS Vita, I was wondering what your thoughts were on the future of handheld gaming. Mm. Besides phone, that is. Do you expect Xbox or PlayStation might try one more venture? Or maybe Nintendo have already cracked it with the Switch? I'm hoping for something out of this world by Sony, personally.
Out of this world.
Thanks for all the superb content, lads. All the best. Cheers, Steve, in brackets, Guttersnipe.
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 Great question, Stephen.
Yeah.
Peter, what handheld consoles have you owned over the years?
When I was little.
When I was...
little.
Even smaller.
Father Christmas.
Took me into the city.
Father Christmas took me into the city.
To see him, was it? I don't suppose there was a marching band there, was it?
And when we were there, he bought me a Game Boy Color. I had Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 on it.
Oh, wow. What was the music like on Game Boy for that?
Just
not as... Good.
I had Rainbow Six. I don't know which one it was. It was just a Rainbow Six game.
Yeah.
I also, my brother had a Game Boy Advance around the same time, and he had a Spider-Man game. It was super fun to play.
Whoa.
And then from that point on, I have never owned a handheld console, and I didn't really play the Game Boy at the time either. I don't really get handheld gaming.
Okay.
I mean, I understand the appeal. You know, you can take it with you, but I think like the only time I ever want to play video games is when I'm just sat in the comfort of my own home on a sofa.
Yeah.
So I don't think I really need to like go out to the beach or to.
A car journey fan.
No, I get a bit. If I read or like look at a screen in the car, I don't feel that good. So I can't play it. I mean, that's true, actually. I think I did used to think, oh, it'd be great. I can play this in long car journeys. And then I realized, no,
I can't. It makes me feel sickums.
So maybe that's the main reason I just, you know.
It might be.
Good time to use it, really.
There's also some great portable games. But like for me, the driving force was always probably leaning towards Pokemon.
Yeah.
And if you're not a huge Pocket Monster fan, then that might also be an issue. But
I think it was like because I didn't have a Game Boy. I mean, I could have played it on my Color. But because I wasn't playing my Game Boy that much, I therefore never got into Pokemon. It's not necessarily that like...
You tried it and didn't like it.
Yeah, I think that's actually the reason I'm not a big Pokeboy, is because I...
You'd probably love it. It's like the most amazing nostalgic thing now to look back on.
Yeah, if I'd played it originally, I'm sure I would.
The original artwork and the cards and stuff. Oh, it's so cool. Yeah. I love it.
I had the cards. We all played with the cards. Right, but in terms of the games, I never really got into it.
Okay. Yeah. I played a lot of handheld games, you know... car trips, and even now, like when I went on holiday like last month, I took my Game Boy Advance with Pokemon Fire Red in it, which was the remake of Red, and played that. But I had a Game Boy Color. I also got it from FC, the big FC.
Yeah.
I had a Game Boy Advance much later on. I didn't get it like around the time. I also got a Game Boy Advance SP way later on. I just bought it from a friend who was just selling it. I bought the PSP when that came out at launch, and then I bought a Vita as well. Oh, I also had a DS and a 3DS.
Oh, okay.
Both of which I didn't get until a long time after launch as well. But I've had a lot of handhelds over the years, and I've always spent a good amount of time with all of them. The Vita is a criminally underrated handheld and was just left to die by Sony, which is such a shame because it was so good. It was such an amazing, powerful little console.
Mm-hmm.
The future of handhelds, Peter.
Yeah, that's a big discussion, isn't it?
It's a huge discussion. What do we have on the horizon? We've got that Playdate console.
Yeah.
The one with the Kronk on it.
I mean, that is handheld in that you hold it in your hand, but it's not, you know, big budget. Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it'll take the world by storm.
It
but
could
at
be
the moment,
amazing.
It feels like a bit of a, this will be fun and good and yay. But it feels very indie is what I'm thinking. So I don't know if it's going to, you know, break the market in a huge way.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, obviously you've got your smartphones and your iPads. And
he said
tablets,
excluding iPhones, but I don't think we really can exclude them because they just get more and more comprehensive, and the games on them are increasingly impressive. And I don't play mobile games. I haven't for a long time because it doesn't interest me. I don't like playing games on my phone. It kills the battery. It makes the phone warm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. But like the stuff that's on it now, you know, you can play old GTA games and you can play Final Fantasy games and stuff like that. It's all on there.
Mm-hmm.
They know that there's a marketplace and an audience, so that it would It may not be for me, but I know that there's clearly a lot of people who play this stuff on their phone.
Maybe there's an element of that that's sort of, you know, contributing to the demise of handhelds. Maybe, you know, obviously the Switch, I think, is still doing very well. They've done a really good job of designing a console. The fact that it doubles as a home console was probably the real masterstroke there.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, it's been a while since Sony have really done some new handheld stuff. Mm-hmm. Microsoft, I don't really know if they've ever...
No, they've never done a handheld. There's never been an Xbox handheld.
No, there's not. And so maybe the reason that Xbox and Sony aren't really going for it anymore is because people are just playing on their phones, people who are into that kind of thing.
That could be it. I mean, you're seeing more and more Nintendo properties on mobile as well, not fully blown Mario games, but I think there's like Mario Runners and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be too crazy to think that there's some kind of port of the original Pokemon games eventually on there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'd make a fortune off that, I would have thought. But in terms of newer stuff, you know, they're talking about, well, there's lots of rumors about a new Switch, like a smaller Switch.
Right, yeah.
One that is, you know, I think it was leaked because someone was doing, what's it called, accessories for it. Some Chinese company was producing accessories and they were sending an email around saying, for the new mini Switch. And it was like, okay.
Thanks.
And I don't think the Joy-Cons come off it. I think that was something that it seemed to be from the design. I have no idea, really. Nothing's confirmed.
Right.
But that would be a more mobile-focused one, you know, one that you could play everywhere. But we have some quotes, Peter. I did a little digging, which wasn't hard, because he's talking about... We've got our friend Gutter Snipe here, Stephen.
Gutter Snipe.
Talking about the three big boys or girls.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft. This quote comes from The Mirror from February of last year.
Must be true.
Phil Spencer said in an interview when asked about whether there would ever be a handheld console from Xbox that they were always looking at every opportunity to expand the brand, but years ago their stance was that handheld gaming was on the way out and mobiles and tablets had taken over.
Well, there you go. I didn't read page two, but that's basically what I suspected.
Exactly. What did... we've also got Blimptendo here. What did they say, peeps?
According to Mashable... We've got... Oh, thanks. Thanks, you've left me with the Japanese name. Shuntaro Furukawa explained that the 3DS has certain advantages over the Switch, such as ease of purchase and the like, and that Nintendo is, quote, considering various possibilities for a successor.
And that was from July of last year as well. I think they will still... The Switch is amazing, but as it doubles as a home console, I know the price is only going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's way more powerful than the 3DS ever was. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Switch Mini is marketed either more as exclusively as a handheld.
Yeah.
Or if they do... I mean, the DS name has so much cachet.
Yeah.
People know it. People know what it's about. Casual consumers know what the DS is. I would be amazed if they didn't do another DS. They obviously can't call it the 4DS. Or they could, maybe, because the 3DS aspect talked about it being, you know, it was referring to the 3D capabilities, and then they did the 2DS as well, which didn't have 3D, so they called it 2DS. But I think, bearing in mind they called it the Wii U, one of their home consoles, the Wii U, I think just slapping a 4 at the beginning wouldn't confuse anyone. I think it would just indicate that this is the next one.
Maybe that could be the features. Maybe they could do four-dimensional gaming.
Oh, my God.
You know,
Nintendo,
like when you go to
cracked
4D cinema and it like, sprays, like,
water. Yeah, you have to refill the water cartridge inside the 4DS.
And it, like, it puts out... There's, like, an option of, like, 12 different scents that the cinema screen can, like, spray out. It blows air up your legs, you know.
If I have to buy vape juice for my 4DS, I'm going to be really mad.
Yeah, but
I don't want that responsibility.
Some people won't be, Ben. Some people will be like, yeah,
this is amazing. Nintendo have done it again.
Yeah.
God's sake.
We've got a quote from PlayStation here as well.
Yeah. This is from Eurogamer. This is from September of last year.
Yeah.
Currently, we do not have any plans regarding a new handheld device, Sony Interactive Entertainment Senior Vice President Hiroyuki Oda said.
Well done.
Thank you. In Japan, we will manufacture PlayStation Vita until 2019. From there, shipping will end. And Sony did officially cease production on the Vita in March of this year, which is such a shame.
It is. Do you know, also, this is the closest, or recently was the closest I've ever got to being like, maybe I should get a Vita, actually.
You think?
Just, well, because of the back catalogue of, like...
Get a PlayStation TV.
Games. Yeah.
Don't... But if you're not going to play it too... portably anyway.
No.
Get the significantly cheaper PlayStation TV, which is the PlayStation Vita. Everything it's just a PlayStation Vita condensed into a tiny little box with an HDMI port, and it plays all the cartridges. Mm. The UI is exactly the same.
Yeah.
You can use a DualShock 4 controller on it, a PS4 controller, or a PS3 controller on it. It's so cheap. They don't produce those anymore either, but you can get them pre-owned for like £40.
Yeah.
That's how I would consume it personally.
I'm tempted. Yeah.
There's a lot of amazing games on there. You can download all the PS1 classics as well.
That's the only reason I get it though, is for the PS1 classics. The alternative is that I buy a PS1 mini and just like hack it like people.
Yeah, I've been very tempted. It's about the same price as a PlayStation TV now.
Yeah.
So it's pretty tempting.
Of course, we wouldn't officially
endorse that. No, of course not. No, that would be ridiculous. But if you want to know more about the PlayStation Classic and where it went wrong, we did an episode not about how to hack it.
No.
Plug in a USB stick.
Yeah.
We did a podcast about it a little while ago, and the title's fairly obvious, and you should be able to find it if you're interested. Mm-hmm. I would love a new handheld from PlayStation as well. I think they let the PSP go to die. I also owned a PSP Go, which was their PSP. That didn't play physical media. It was digital only.
PSP Go was the one where you run around to the local PSP Pokestops in your town,
and you get the gyms and all that sort of stuff. Exactly, you get the James, the Jimmies, and all that kind of stuff. The PSP Go, I felt it was great. Got a lot of I think unfair flack for not taking physical media, but as a little device, it sort of like slid up, like, you know, the middle ground between flip phones and smartphones.
Yeah,
it slid up to reveal the buttons. It was so tiny and so portable and so perfect for those PS1 classics. And again, these are the same PS1 classics that once you've bought them, you could download them on the regular PSP.
Yeah,
you could download them on the PlayStation 3.
PS3.
You could download them on the Vita as well.
But not PS4.
But not PS4.
For some reason.
I don't know why. Because
if
they want to resell them to you.
But you can't buy them for PS4, a lot of them.
No, you can't. You just can't.
They're not reselling them. You just can't buy them.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, the reason they haven't done it is either because they're probably going to just resell them to you in some other way
or remake them, as they're doing with Medieval, aren't they?
Yeah, like I imagine. I don't understand what the legality is, to be honest, because the Spyro Reignited Trilogy exists now, yet you can still buy the original Spyro Trilogy PS1 classic versions if you've got a PS3 or a Vita.
Maybe there's something to do with, like, originally, you know, Sony signed something and said
that lets them do that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I would love that. I don't think Xbox will ever get into the game just because it's not really what they're about. They've always been about a home entertainment system. They've always pushed that as their primary thing.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to get another handheld soon that's anything like the Playdate, it's going to be from Nintendo.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see. But you can let us know what you think in the comments below, or tweet us and all that kind of stuff. Peter, if they wanted to tweet us or find us elsewhere, how could they do that?
At Team Triple Jump. That's on our YouTube channel, our Twitch channel, our Twitter and Facebook, where you can tweet and Facebook us. But you can only Facebook us if you're 55 or over.
Yes, no, mandatory. Yeah.
We have a Patreon
Did you give the URL?
Well, I said they're all Team Triple Jump.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's fine.
It's all the URL, as you know, / Team Triple Jump. Mm-hmm. Gets a bit more complicated later on. Just sit tight for that.
Bear with us.
Patreon.com/ Team Triple Jump is where you can find us on Patreon and get all kinds of rewards. One of which is a special room in our Discord. Now, listen carefully. Our Discord is not discord.com/ Team Triple Jump.
No.
It's bit.ly/ Team Triple Jump.
There we go.
Okay, the website, where that's the other way you can support us financially, in our store, is triplju.mp. And this is the real hard one. If you're watching on the video version of this podcast and want to access the audio version, play.acast.com/s/triplejump.
Yes.
There's no team in there.
There's no team in there. We didn't get to set the URL. It was done for
There's
us.
There's no I in team.
Which is a shame.
No.
But there is an I in triple jump. Mm. So if you want to find that, you know, other places as well, it's all in the links of the video. In the links of every video, actually, at the bottom.
In the
description, all the way at the bottom. All of our links to the various audio versions of our podcast. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram, you can do at that Peter Austin and at Ben Potter 20, and on Twitter at that Peter Austin as well, and at confused_
Dude, we do lists every Tuesday and Thursday, streams every Monday, Tuesday and Thursday, Monday and Tuesday being on Twitch, Thursday being on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Worst Games is fortnightly. It's this weekend. It's happening.
Yeah.
It would have gone out yesterday at the time of release if you're a patron, or Sunday if you're everybody else. And finally, the podcast is out every Saturday. Please leave us an iTunes review. Or a review on your platform of choice. A review on your platform of choice, please. Thank you. It helps something about algorithms. We might do another Patreon chat soon. We need to do one.
We do, yeah, actually.
So next week, if you're a patron, keep an eye out for that. We'll take questions from you on Discord and have a lovely conversation and stuff. And if you want to join in on that, patreon.com/team-triple-jump. Thank you so much for listening. Just a quick final shout out to our sponsor, Coco's Park. Mm. It's the place where you go when you die.
Oh.
You can visit any time of the year. They've got a family pass, but also it's available in supermarkets now. I'm still not entirely sure if it's a location or a cereal. A
theme park.
But they go real fast
there. You might lose both of your legs.
Mm-hmm. There's TNT everywhere. There's these little nitro boxes that explode in these green clouds.
Yeah.
And
Merlin
it sounds like glass.
Coco.
That we're not going to do that here.
No.
That is litigious.
Yeah.
And we don't. That we're joking. This is parody.
It is parody.
Merlin Entertainment. This is parody.
Yeah.
We're messing. We're joking.
It's not.
Anyway, thank you to Coco's Park for sponsoring this week's episode. Yeah. Peter, thank you for coming along.
Thanks for having me.
And doing this thing. Mm. We'll be back next week with another podcast. Thank you to all our patrons for asking questions, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.